Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and wherever you're watching from, or if you're listening to the podcast or video after the fact. We're so glad that you're here with us today. We've got a great show. In fact, you might say our show today is so good, it's so hot, it's on fire. Excel on fire, that is. We got Oz with Excel on Fire. He's gonna be with us in just a minute. Before we get there though, I wanna make sure that you guys all know the routine, right? If you learned something today, there's something you're like, man, that was awesome that Oz said or Matt said or somebody said, we want you to share it. Share it with your friends, your neighbors, your colleagues, whoever you think would benefit from the show, because guess what? That helps us know that the show is worth doing. And we wanna make sure that we're providing good value. And of course, if you've got feedback, suggestions, you can always email us at thevisuallounge@techsmith.com. We'd love to hear from you. Now, with that said, let's jump in today's show. So let me introduce our guest for today. And, you know, it helps when you keep your notes open, Matt. You gotta, if you're gonna read things. But Oz, is it Soleil or Soul? Or how do you say it? You're not on
Du Soleil.
Camera. Soleil, that's Soleil. What I thought. Oz Du Soleil, I love it. Such a great name. It's such a powerful name. Anyways, Oz creates videos for the YouTube channel Excel on Fire, where his Excel tutorials are known for being fun, dramatic, and sometimes just plain outrageous. Yet the fun doesn't overshadow the learning. Oz has the distinction of being one of 75-ish Excel MVPs as recognized by Microsoft. He's the author of Gorilla Data Analysis 2nd Edition and has taught Excel sessions in a variety of places like Australia, Bulgaria, Brazil, Canada, the Netherlands, England, and a variety of places around the United States. When asked why video, Oz says, I love teaching and sharing knowledge, and video allows me to have fun and be creative while teaching people how to get the most from their data. When I was writing a blog, I spent too much time fiddling around with HTML and CSS. With video, I can focus on making the video, and amen to that. I have done that with many of WordPress and other sites, and HTML can be a lot to deal with. Oz is a native of Chicago and currently lives in Portland, Oregon. You can find him on LinkedIn, YouTube, and LinkedIn Learning. You can also find Oz in our newest TechSmith Academy course created by Oz. It shows his workflow and how he goes through about creating videos for his work. Of course, it doesn't just show you how to use Camtasia, though. It allows you to see the process and decision-making that Oz uses, which can help anyone understand the decisions you'll have to make when creating your videos. And can I just say, I love talking to Oz. He's passionate, knowledgeable, and a fantastic storyteller. So with that, help me welcome Oz back to the Visual Lounge.
All right. Here we are back in the Visual Lounge with Matt Pierce.
Oz, thank you so much for joining me today. This is awesome. I'm glad you're here.
Yes, I'm glad to be here too. I'm thankful for the invitation.
Well, you know, we've been able to talk a little bit as we were prepping for this, and it's always, I just enjoy talking to you. It is just so much fun and hearing your stories. And I listened, just so you know, I went out and listened to a couple of your stories on your website that you've told at various places. We won't talk about Three Monty Shuffle, but that was a crazy story.
Okay. But what else did you listen to?
That's as far as I got today, but I'm going to go back to listen to the other ones because that was so fascinating. If anyone wants to hear this story, Oz is a storyteller, and that's an experience he had as a young man that some decisions possibly, not too dramatic to say, saved your life.
Yeah. So possibly. Yeah.
Possibly. Well, let's dive into our questions though, Oz. Here's my first question for you today. You know, you make a lot of videos. You've got your YouTube channel. You're doing it on Excel, which is amazing. How did you go about learning to edit video? What's your process been?
To learn to edit video? Well, I started. We could go back to like 1998-ish when I did some video editing when I was at the School of the Art Institute in Chicago. And that was all analog, where there was a stack of VCR decks, cassette players, CD players, and I had this bag of tapes and CDs, and I'm constantly doing this, and so that put me in a mind of how to think about what I wanted, and how to put things together. But then I didn't do any video editing for a long time. And then I decided I wanted to do some Excel video. And I started with some free thing that had very limited editing capabilities. And so that might have been a good starting point for digital editing, because it didn't do much. It could pan and it could zoom. It could do basic cuts, no transitions. And so I didn't have a whole bunch of stuff to overwhelm me, right? But then as I made a few of those very crude videos, I started to get a language of, I wanted to do picture in picture. Okay. I had to learn that term because I wanted to have me and Excel in the same shot. And that free thing would not do that. And that's where I learned the term, I want picture in picture. Okay. So, and then I got the MVP award, and we get a license as MVPs to snag it and Camtasia. And that's where my old ideas from 98 came back about how to put things together, how to move things around. And so I was I had to learn the Camtasia interface. And then start to develop habits, right? Develop my workflow and everything, you know, set my favorites and stuff. But it's been a long process. And when I come across something, an idea that I want to try, you know, I'll go look around. I might find somebody's blog or a YouTube video. And so it's constantly building.
Yeah. Well, I love the analog thing, you know, that you see people learning from an analog. I think in some ways it's probably easier to learn the basic concepts because you have to physically put things together. And you can't, there's not as much you can do, so you don't mess it up as much, probably.
Yeah.
Right.
You've got to be real careful. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, normally we wait a little bit to take questions, but Faraz has a great question. Is what was your first video editing tool? What was, you know, obviously analog, you're not necessarily using your tool, but were you using anything before Camtasia digitally? Like, I know I remember I used a very early version of Premiere before it was even Adobe Premiere. And man, that it like, you know, 2 minute video took like all night to render.
Wow. But you know, I'm going to answer Faraz's question. But I'm just thinking back to that analog where I had to book a suite that with the deck of VCRs and all of this stuff and the monitors and everything. It was an entire suite, not a laptop. It's fascinating. Yeah. But I don't remember the first digital thing that I used. I just remember it was this free thing that didn't do much of anything. It did screen capture. So that was a thing. And I eventually learned that I need screen capture and I need picture in picture. So I would say that Camtasia was my first and to date only real, digital video editing software. I've tried other ones. Like there was one back when I was pissed off with TechSmith before there was the issue around, I think 32-bit versus 64-bit.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. This is a few years ago, back when TechSmith was constantly when Camtasia was constantly crashing on me. I was thinking about using something else. And the interface was just too much. It would have allowed me to do so much more, but I would have had to find the things that I already knew where they are in Camtasia. And then there's all this other stuff with, you know, this sophisticated color correction and stuff. And no, I'm not at that level. I didn't see the benefit of learning all of that. And then the good news came out was that whatever it was underneath Camtasia was changed in the new version. Boom. Okay. We can be friends again.
Well, I'm so glad we get to be friends because it allows this to happen. And, yeah. you know, all software goes through those periods. I want to shift. Okay. So you've learned this process. It's been a lot. It sounds like a lot of experimentation in your video creation process. Obviously you have a lot of things you could cover. Your main focus is Excel and working with data. Where do you get your ideas for your videos? Like, you know, we'll get to some of the video editing stuff. I want to talk to you about your course a little bit in the academy, but I'm curious, like, what's that process like for you when you're looking at all the things you could talk about? How are you deciding, like, these are the things you as Oz are going to talk about in Excel? Because I've seen Excel, I've been in Excel, and I know there is way more in there than I will ever touch or ever need. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just curious, what's that process look like? And I'm wondering if there's anything we can extract for our listeners to say, like, when they're making those decisions about what to make, that they could draw from your experience.
Right. So there are a couple of things. Okay, there is the topic. Am I going to show how to unpivot something in Excel? And then there is the creativity around the video. I could do just, here's how you unpivot something, folks. All right, I showed you. See you in the next video. But then there is, I want to have fun. And then I just let my imagination run. I can think of one example. So I'm sitting around watching TV, and then the commercial comes up about some pill and all the side effects and whatnot. And so I'm thinking, how could I integrate that? Okay, so then I wrote up a script, and then I asked my friend to read it. And then the video starts with me saying something like, okay, before I show you this, my lawyers have required me to make this statement first. And then here's the voiceover of my friend. If you have a weak bladder or loose teeth, this video may not be for you. You might want to consult a health professional if you move forward. But if you don't have loose teeth, weak bladder, or thin bones, then go on ahead. Just being silly, right? What was my mood? Like in one of my last videos, Iranian Dr. Excel, he posted a challenge and it seemed easy enough. Oh, okay. But then when I started digging into it, it took me 3 days to come up with a solution. And so then now I'm thinking, I start the video. I almost drove to Iran last night. This guy has the gall to post a challenge like this to keep me tied up for 3 days. And I got in my car and I started my car and I started to drive to Iran to give him what for. And I decided I was too sleepy to drive all the way to Iran last night. So let me show you the solution. And a lot of it comes from my improv background, the storytelling, going deep in on something, you know, creating a world. And you can create this crazy world and then think about what else is true in that world. What would keep me from driving to Iran? Well, I'm too sleepy to drive that long.
I love it. I love it. Well, and so I guess the question that leads me to, Oz, is so you've got this mixture of topics, and I'm assuming because you're an expert in Excel, there's lots of topics you know that you could cover, and you probably keep track of ones so you don't do them too many times, cover it too many times. And you've got your creativity that comes from, you know, like you mentioned, your improv background and storytelling background. When you've got these two and you kind of got your concept, is there a framework that you're following to go about creating your videos, or are you kind of leaning into the fact that like each video is its own thing and it's going to be unique? So help us understand that process. You've got concept, like topic, you got a concept right. to work with, then what? Because eventually we're going to get, you know, you'll get to the editing, which your Academy course yeah. covers, yeah. but like there's a gap there, right? Because a lot of people are very much more, let's say they're a little bit more like framework. I do this, I write this, a script, I do this, I do that. You know, like it's, they proceduralized it all the way, but it seems like you've got a little bit more free flow and go here to go yeah. with kind of the mood.
And that's one thing that I have liked about the YouTube channel is I think about every video as its own thing. But there are certain things that I do, like some kind of fire or explosion. And I did that a few times, and then I didn't do it. And then people were wondering, where's the fire? I was waiting for the explosion. Okay, well, let's have fun with that. Now, I would not let it turn into something that I do, but I'm sick of it, right? I don't want to, like, truly turn into a cartoon or a shtick,
mm-hmm.
right? So I still have fun with that, and I look for the moment where I want to put it, and it's like the thing that says, we won, we did it. That's the moment. But how do I think about these videos? Okay, so I need a way in and I need a way out. How am I going to do that? I might think of, like, say, all right, when dynamic arrays were, we had found out about them, but then it was more than a year later and we still didn't have them. So then I start off complaining about how we don't have them. And then at the end, I close by telling Satya Nadella, come on, Jack, you got to let these things free or I'm going to come get them. All right. So now I need a bullet point or some kind of note to where I know that that's how I'm starting and then that's how I'm going to end. And I do try to keep the jokey stuff in the middle at a minimum, because I don't want to turn into a lot of videos that I don't like where somebody's trying to teach something, but they got jokes constantly. And then, you know, it's, yeah, I don't like those kind of interruptions. And so, yeah, my jokey stuff is at the start and the end and a little bit in the middle. I'll play with some graphics and stuff. And so the idea being, when we get into the lesson, we're in the lesson. But that's about the formula that I've got. And like with my latest video, I summarized my 13-day road trip. And I kept it there. I didn't do that and something fun or jokey. So I do want to minimize that. And then I think about, you know, I think that might have been maybe 2 minutes. And then I'm wondering, is somebody going to get irritated with me that I'm sitting here looking at all of this stuff? Well, I kind of count on that they can slide past the trip stuff and trust that once they slide past the trip stuff, then we will be truly in Excel and they won't have to be, you know, chopped up with more about my trip.
Yeah.
So does that answer your question?
It does.
I want to make sure.
Well, because actually it answers the question. And then the next question I really want to ask is how you keep a focus on learning when you're doing these things, right? Because I think inherently what people worry about, especially in corporate environments, is mm-hmm. that, like, oh gosh, if I have fun, people are going to get distracted. They're not going to be able to learn. You know, corporations are notorious about, you know, like, we don't want to do anything jokey or fun. But what I love what you said is that you're providing a space for it. But when the learning is happening, that's what you're focused on. It's not the jokes. Yeah. It's not the things that might be distracting you. But you're using that as a mechanism to gain attention, which I think is a really smart thing, right? Like, you want to gain attention. You want to get people invested. And I'm guessing they, you know, if you're coming to Oz for help on Excel, which I've done, you know what you're in for too, right? Like you get a sense of your personality, and if they don't like that personality, there's probably 5 to 10 other people who they could probably go learn Excel from, but it won't be quite as good. We all know.
Well, and I recognize I have a different style. Is I'm not the in and out straightforward guy that if you're sitting at your desk and need something right away, because part of what I do is I want to help people when they have to really do something in the real world. So I will talk about what happens when something breaks, or what about this kind of a scenario that's common that you need to be able to do, but you can't do it straight out of the box with a function or something. So I feel I'm more comprehensive than just the straightforward stuff. And that comes from where I felt instructors or teachers have let me down, is they'd show me the out of the box stuff. And then I go out in the real world and run under a hammer and say, oh, I forgot to tell you about that part. Well, you know, you could have, you know, right. So that's my position with my teaching. And I want to appeal to the people who want to have fun. The people who have over the years complained that Excel teaching can be so boring. And I see that the boring stuff has a place. If you're sitting at your desk, you need a refresher on the filter piece in the pivot table interface. Okay, you can get that in 2 minutes. But if you come to Oz, you're going to get a lot more. You're going to get, well, maybe you don't want to use the filter piece there. Maybe you want a slicer. So here's a slicer. There you go.
Yeah. That's I think it's great. I want to share, we got a comment from Faraz again. He says, I learned a lot from Oz when it comes to video editing or Excel. He is my guru. So absolutely. Right here, Oz, I think we're at a good spot. I want to take a quick break. And one of the things that we want to talk about on the Visual Lounge is something that we're calling Level Up. TechSmith has an event coming up on October 5th. And so one of the things we've got is a little trailer video. If you watched last week, you got to hear all about it. You can always go back and listen to the previous week. But let me just share this. Let me find my video here. And it's super good. So here we go. Let's listen to the trailer right now.
All right. The way we communicate in the workplace is evolving. If you're not using videos and images, your coworkers may be confused or left behind. Join us for Level Up, a free 4-hour digital event where we'll tell you how and why you can improve your workplace communications with visuals. Whether you are new to using visuals or are looking to build on your existing skills, we're here to help you level up. On October 5th, you'll walk away with the tools and knowledge to communicate more clearly and save you and your coworkers a lot of time. So join us to level up.
All right, so next October 5th, you can go out to techsmith.com/level up and you'll find all the details, find a place to sign up. We're super excited. We got Oz here teaching us about how to make video for learning. We've got workplace communication stuff to help you learn how to use video, not just for tutorials, but for other things too. So thanks for letting us take that quick little break, Oz.
All right. You know, Randy says something. I was up really late or early this morning on an editing challenge last night. And I tell you, video editing takes time.
What a great segue. Did you read my questions, Oz? Because
I didn't. No, I wanted to address that because I'm always posting. I say, parents, do not let your kids get into video editing. They should be out carousing and gallivanting.
We don't need kids on YouTube. They're going to spend all their time in their dark basements editing video. How can we let them do that?
Sitting up in their drawers all late, all through the night, trying to get some sound effects matched up with an arrow.
Oh my gosh.
This is a hard life.
My next question literally is, how long do you normally spend creating your videos? Because, you know, so you're taking this approach where you got this very creative, an idea strikes you. You know, in your TechSmith Academy video, you even mentioned that, like, it's a, I think, what, 24 or 28 minute long video. And you're like, that doesn't even show all the other time that you spent, you know, like you spend time. So I'm out of curiosity, what's an average video look like for you in terms of how much time kind of start to finish for you?
Easily 10 hours. Yeah. It's been a rare time where I can get a video out in maybe 6 hours, but it could easily be 20. And that's all my own decision. And that's what I've liked about making video versus writing a blog. When I got sidetracked writing a blog, it was because some plugin or some weird stuff, or I didn't know enough HTML to do what I was trying to do. But with the video editing, I decide I want an arrow to come in, and then I want another arrow to come in, and then I want this arrow to go over here. Okay, now do I want sound effects for them all? Okay, if I decide yes, then all three of them are all, you know, everything is going to need a sound effect. So, you know, I might start with, say, 20 minutes of raw footage and then put in, say, 15 hours. And then I've got a 5 minute video final. Looking for the right music, I show that in the course. That can be a lot of time, finding exactly the right thing to say, I need some reflective music. Okay. I'll try something and it's got lyrics in it. No, don't want that. Try something and listen to the first 5 seconds. It sounds great. And then it turns into like dubstep somehow, you know, or I'll listen to bits of a piece of music and then bring it in. And I need, say, 24 seconds, but I can't find the right 24 seconds. So then what I might have to do is, okay, these 15 seconds are perfect. So let me take these 15 and then find a way to where I can line them up to where it seems like that 15 seconds, that is seamless. That mm-hmm. is seamless, that I can get 24 seconds from splicing together two 15 second pieces.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I've felt that pain before. Just when you have to find pieces that aren't yours, you're not creating, whether that's music yeah. or assets or whatever, you yeah. can spend a lot of time on that. So a question yeah. that came in for you, Yocasta Solutions on YouTube is asking, do you find that editing the screencast parts is more cumbersome than the parts where you're a talking head, or is it just me, she says?
Do I think that the screen capture
is yeah, more... the screen capture, is that more cumbersome to edit, or is it the talking head that you find that's harder to edit? Or neither?
I have accepted the jump cuts for the, when it's me. And usually I'm down in a corner. So somebody's got to really be paying attention to see that there's a lot of jump cuts happening. So I spend my time focused on the screen cap and making sure that that makes sense. And, you know, all of it's clumsy, right? If I was doing more full face and giving a presentation, that would be really tough. Because, you know, I might move or something. I did something like this, and then I'm sitting like this. I would need to smooth that out, but no, I don't bother with it. Not for what I'm doing in this. What gets tricky is, say, if I have made a mistake when I was recording and then I undo back, mm-hmm. and now I got to take this chunk out of the raw footage and then put the two together. Now, do they still make sense, or do I have to do something? You know, so all of those kind of decisions have to be made. And I wonder how you could teach that, because that comes up so much. How do you edit around mistakes, and how do you edit and things still remain coherent? You know, and sometimes what I've done is like my voice will fade out, and then there'll be a transition to kind of I'm adding a dynamic effect that really was to hide some kind of a mistake or goof, or maybe I pulled something up on my computer and it showed something I didn't want to show, you know, like divorce records is an example. Like if I got a folder that says divorce records, how do I edit around that? Well, let's do some drama.
So, I mean, you know, this is it's an interesting topic, and I've been making screencasts for 15 years, and some of this is still it's a great conversation, and there's not really great answers, right? You might just have to record again. You might have to just back up in your process and hope that you can go a couple steps back. I think it's in Camtasia for Mac, you can actually freeze a part of the screen. On Windows, I don't think they have that on the Windows version, but like, so you could say like right here, this is where that your divorce records folder is going to come up. You can make it so it looks like something didn't, if it's something popping in more like a notification or something, you can make it so it doesn't appear. It's like you froze part of the screen. So there, it's a great question though. And there's lots, it's one of the things I think as video creators, I imagine you're at the point where you're not thinking, you're just dealing with it, right? Like you've got your kind of patches, your mechanisms to do these things. But I remember back in the day, I would even take like, let's say you've got the folder on your screen and you're like, I can't show that folder. That's proprietary. I don't want anyone to know my divorce records, right? Whatever. Mm-hmm. I would take screenshots and use a screen, like a still static screenshot, and layer it in and then hope my mouse didn't go over that area.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But turn your mouse cursor off, right? So it doesn't look like it, you don't see it floating underneath or whatever. So there's lots of little tricks, but it's a really awesome question. And I think, just the nature of the work that you're doing, I would imagine the way you've described it. Yeah. The screen video is going to be more cumbersome because there's more of it and it's Excel. I mean, that's the focus, right?
Yeah.
But also that with the jump cuts, the good news is, and I want to say this for everybody that's watching, even if they're not doing YouTube, jump cuts are in. Jump cuts are cool. Jump cuts are okay. Like it used to be 5 years ago, people were like, don't do a jump cut in your professional video. Don't do it in your corporate video. And now I feel like, who cares?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, give me the information. Give me what I need. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And your Coastal Solutions saying editing can be life sucking. something? I have fun with it. And that's why I've been able to keep doing it for so long. And we have to pick our medium. I felt like writing a blog was soul sucking or life sucking because, I'm just trying to get a picture to sit right and somehow is not. And then I go to the WordPress forum and then get bitched out by devs who say I should be doing this in CSS, not HTML. But then I understand enough to know where I got to set up a class and all kinds of stuff for this one damn picture. No, you're not going to suck the life out of me with that crap. I'm going Camtasia video, edit video.
I promise, Oz, no more WordPress. No more WordPress. You don't have to do it anymore. It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
So yeah. I have a question here for you. When we're gonna do our I want to do our what we call our Texman Tie Five in just a second. But before we do that, I'm curious. What's your favorite part? Like, you know, obviously, with your comment here, video for you is not soul sucking. So what is your favorite part of the process? Is it the creative, like being creative about it? Is it, I mean, do you love the editing part? What, at the end of the day, if you, like we said, Oz, you get to do one thing in the video creation process and you're going to love it. But what would that thing be?
That's a tough one. Because I do love the editing and the creativity. If you told me I could edit, but then it's going to be somebody else's dry stuff, or I had to be really dry, I know that would suck. But my hesitation is with this. Sometimes I can find it hard to get motivated, because I know once I record and start editing, I'm looking at 10, 15, 20 hours. But once I'm in it, that's when I start having fun. And I look back at my videos and I laugh. And I said, why the hell did I do that? Why did I do that? You know, and then I remember the fun I was having. You know, having stars come up, you know, once we got the right value that we were looking for, and here are the stars, and then the twinkly music. One time I put, I used Photoshop, PowerPoint to take Bill Jelen, Mr. Excel. I took a picture of him, and then I got a cowboy on a horse, and I put Bill's face on the cowboy. And I think that was when the RAND array function had been improved. And I said, I woke up this morning and Bill Jelen was on a horse riding all over the world, spreading the word about new RAND array. And so, yeah, it took me maybe an hour to do that, but I had decided that it was worth doing for the video.
I love that. And I love that I think one of the challenges a lot of people, especially I think of corporate training, right? Like for anyone that's working in corporate training, sometimes you hear the complaints of corporate training is so boring. We had to do this and that. And I love that you're having Excel is probably not on my list of top 10 fun mm-hmm. things to do. I'm going to be honest with you, Oz.
Okay. Okay.
But, you know, you make me want to learn, you know, yeah. I think those are the things that it just catches you and say like, okay, at least we're going to have fun with a subject that might not be the most enjoyable to everybody. I'm sure you love it.
Yeah. And then I'll tell you too, this comes up, you know, in my relationship with LinkedIn. Their editors are employees who have a pipeline of videos to edit. So they aren't going to be doing explosions and music and all kinds of stuff. So I appreciate being able to have YouTube as a place where I can be fully expressed and put in how much time or how little time on the video editing, where I don't think I would want to like make video, at least not tutorials, you know, for a learning platform. Maybe I would like making trailers for movies. That might be fun.
That would be a lot of fun. Yeah. You get a good time with that. Well, we're going to take just a second. So Oz, I think I mentioned this before the show, but we do a thing called TechSmith High Five. We try to recognize a creator in the community who's doing cool stuff. And we've got one today that I think everyone should find interesting because it comes with free stuff. We like free stuff, right? So today's high five is Alan Smith. He created a course called Superior Lower Thirds for Corporate Video Editing. So if you want to know about lower thirds, you can go get it. We're going to drop the link in the chat. We'll make sure it's in the show notes. It's on Skillshare, and you can go get it for free. He's given us a number of licenses to give away. So if you want to go learn more about how you can use the lower thirds, Alan, thank you so much. And thanks for creating great content. And you know, it happens to be about Camtasia, but we like all video creators creating content, teaching us how to be better and make use of the things that we've got around us. So very exciting. Okay. So again, check out that link. You can just go. It's Skillshare. All if you're right. not a user of Skillshare, I think you have to sign up, but it's got some pretty good stuff. I think it's like 39 minutes worth of content, Oz. So.
Right. All right. Alan Smith. High five.
That's yeah. right.
Yeah. But you yeah, know super- something? I was thinking about this, you know, what Yokosa was saying about the life sucking. You know, there are parts of video editing that can be truly tedious. When I've got 13 tracks all stacked up and I've got the music coming in and out right, and then there's the arrows and the sound effects and everything, it's all stacked up, and then something moves. Or I decided that I need something to move. Now I got to move all of that stuff. That, you know, but I do it because I see the value in doing it, how much better the video will be. But if I did see it as just something tedious, you know, I would have quit a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, Oz, yeah. maybe this will change your life a little bit. I believe it is Shift. Right. Hold the Shift button when you're in your Camtasia editor. Click on the one that's on the furthest to the beginning of the timeline, Shift, and drag, and I believe it shifts everything on the timeline.
Oh, yeah. It does that, but I'm thinking about, no, if, yeah, that is a cool trick, and I'm glad, I was so happy when I learned about that. But I'm thinking about, say, if I got 13 tracks, and then 11 of them need to move.
Yeah.
You know. Or I'm going to add something else, but I can't just line that up with everything else. I got to line everything else up with this new thing. Now it's just, psh, psh, well, and now this is a half second too fast. So now.
Yeah. Well, it's an ongoing, it's an always moving target, right? Because things yeah, are going to yeah. shift as you bring things in. And yeah, I love your commentary about, you know, like, every job has tedious things. Every job has things that are like, just, oh gosh, I got to do that. But I love your perspective, right? Like, there's so much other stuff that you enjoy doing it. Doing the tedious can make those things more enjoyable, but also I love what you said, that it's worth it. So yeah. I have another question for you. So on your website, you know, one of the things that you say that you're known for, and I absolutely believe it, having watched your content, listened, being able to talk with you, You said this, and I'm going to quote your website. It says, you can show the when and the why, not just the how. That's about you and why people should hire you to teach them Excel. And I want to talk about that in the term of video, right? So you can show the when and the why, not just the how. So for you, and you think about when you're making videos, what is the when and why of why you're doing video? Why is that, you know, like, why is video so important that, like, is there a when and why? Does that, maybe I'm not making sense. I feel like I'm repeating myself. But so you got the when and the why. What's the when and why of video for you? Not just the how, because we can teach you how. Like we talked a little bit earlier, you know, TechSmith's got tons of hows. But when and why, what's the when and why of why people should be using video?
Okay, so I'm not quite understanding the question, because so if we think about my course, mm-hmm. what I liked about it was I got to show a workflow that, yes, people can go and find out about ripple delete and behaviors and stuff, but I showed the importance of get rid of all of the mistakes and things that you're not going to use up front, because things are going to get broken down into little pieces, and you don't want to have all these little pieces that then you got to go to each individual one or check each individual one for something. Don't have all those little pieces floating around. What else? The when and why? I put the music on last because, again, if I have too much to edit and I've got this music in the right place, and then I've decided that here's a section that I'm not going to use, or it's a mistake that I didn't catch. Now I got to clear that out, find a way to smooth over it, and then now I got to change this piece of music. So I like showing that process of, you know, you getting more granular as you go and not creating too many granules up front, because that's really going to be a problem.
Yeah. Well, I love your answer. Whether you understood my question or not, it was a good answer.
Okay. All right.
So we want to get into we've got our speed run questions coming up. So those are, again, quick answers. But before we do that, I just want to make sure everyone's aware, because you mentioned your course. Go out to the TechSmith Academy, academy.techsmith.com. You can find the How I Edit Video with Oz Dusule course. It's completely free. Oz is he teaches us his process, walks through how he's editing video. I think it's a wonderful video. In fact, I rewatched it today in preparation for our conversation, and there's just so many little nuggets of knowledge in there that I think anyone making video can learn from. And it's not going to teach you what buttons to push or when you should do things necessary, but you're going to see Oz's process, which I think we can all learn from. So,
what would you offer as an example of a nugget?
One of the nuggets I think is, because I was going to ask you a question about it. Where is it? You mentioned already, but when that you start off with the process of removing mistakes first, like, again, kind of the big picture down to narrow picture. But then I even love seeing some of the little nuanced things that you do, like to enhance the visibility, right? Because Excel is obviously, it's dense in terms of like when you have lots of data, it's hard to read and you're like doing the call outs. Like, mm-hmm. I think it was just, it's such a clever technique, right? To draw attention. Because there's lots of ways to draw attention. You could just draw a box around it, you know, or put a call out arrow pointing to it. But I love that you're like bringing it out into the forefront. And I thought that was just, not that you're showing how to do that, but that the fact that it makes a lot of sense for your topic and your concept, that it's something I'm thinking that, you know, how can I do more of that, right? Like, how can I really focus the learner in on what they need to learn? So there's so much good stuff in there. And then
thanks.
The lessons learned about green screen were really good too, right? Like, you do mention, like, you do the green screen, but I think you give a little bit of like some caveats around it of like, it's not always easy, right?
Right. It's not. And you can forgive yourself. Excuse me. Wow. There's so much. And I'm glad that you mentioned that making a pop-out piece in the course. And that came a long time ago, where I'm thinking about how there is something I want to show in Excel, but then there's a formula that I need to build or modify. And if I zoom in so we can see the formula, then this other thing is going to go away. So by making that thing pop out, okay, now we've got everything. And so that's become a regular part of what I do.
Yeah. It shows that you know what you're doing with that, because I think from a learning perspective, which is my background, I think it's a great learning effect to allow people to again, draw attention, focus them in on the right information, and just clarity. The clarity of it is so important. So, okay. We're going to do a couple comments and we'll go into a speed round, because time is ticking. Yocasta Solution says, I've had feedback that editing should take me only an hour to a few hours, but it takes me the better part of a day and into the night. I thought I'd been doing something wrong. Nope. Editing is a beast. It takes time, you know?
And then you got to watch those people. You got to lean close and they smell like booze. See, they've been drinking.
They may well have been, but it, you know, I know for TechSmith, we say for video editing, at least 8 hours for a 2 to 3 minute video. So if that gives context, and you can get faster, but sometimes videos are complex. Depends on the content and the complexity. Yeah. Another comment here, Graphiacious, who is, you know, we've actually given a high five to on the show before, does great work, Camtasia stuff, says, I have to stop myself from adding more bells and whistles after the fifth time through a video. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
It's easy to get caught up. At some
point, yes, at some point you have to declare done, right? Because you can add stuff and tweak stuff, and at some point, yes, you got to move on. And I got a friend, Steve, back in Chicago. He's a musician, and we used to talk about stuff when I was learning to play bass and tried writing songs. And he said, not every song needs every idea. Save some for another time. Save some for another song. And that stays with me. So I could pile all kind of bells and whistles on, and then there is the time is never going to be done. And then it can be overworked and too clogged up with stuff. Yeah. And I don't have an answer for how do you know when something is done? You know, I've got my own instinct when the lesson is clear. Everything is there. Everything is coherent. All right. But now I think I want these arrows to be gold instead of blue. No, they're all blue. I'm not going and changing 25 arrows to gold because I think it might be a little better. No. Render the video, upload it, and keep moving. Because the part that I hate is coming, and I need to get that out of the way. Writing a description on YouTube, running the risk of YouTube emailing me a copyright strike notification, and that then I've got to appeal, making a thumbnail. That's the part I hate. So once I can get that out, you know, let's get on with that, because changing 25 arrows is just prolonging the bad part.
Well, I love that. That's a great wisdom. I think we'll end on that for the full interview. So just remember, if anyone wants to go check out Oz's stuff, go check out his YouTube channel. Go watch what he's doing. He's got super creative stuff. We also would encourage you, if you like what you're hearing today, make sure you're sharing it on your social networks. Like, subscribe, do
what
all
is
that good stuff.
Speed round.
We're going to do speed round. Oh, yeah, we got speed round.
Okay, all right.
Don't worry. I'm just, you know, people. Right. Some people don't like the speed round, Oz, and so I try to catch them before they go. But here we go. Let's just jump in. It's time for the speed round.
Oh, my God. This bad.
Okay, speed round. Quick answers, Oz. What's one piece of gear you'd recommend to everybody thinking about video? Any gear that you'd recommend?
I have this, this thing that my camcorder sits on to where I can, is it a dinkum system where I can position it? I can, turn it. I don't have a tripod or anything to move. It clips onto the table. And that's how I can get interesting shots. I can easily change my camera angle, the height, whatever.
Oh, that's awesome. That sounds like a great piece of equipment to have, because I've got one fixed position and sometimes it makes it tough. Okay.
No.
So next question, because again, these are speed round. What's something you know about Excel that you think everyone should know about or how to do but rarely does? I'm not asking you to teach us. I'm just asking, what's the thing we should all go learn about in Excel?
The count A function.
All right. I'm going to have to go look up count A function. Let's check it out. Yeah. Okay. So obviously you've been making video for a while. What's the best one tip that you've not already shared today to help people make better video?
One tip. Play.
Love
Try
it.
Stuff. Let yourself play.
That is a great answer. I love that answer. Okay, next question. Where do you turn for inspiration? You've obviously got lots of creative ideas. Do you got one place you're kind of the well you continually go back to?
One place, no. Other than if I said life, just living, whether it's TV or somebody said something, just hearing, being aware of what's going on around me and pulling that in. And then committing to that idea. You know, if I've decided that it's going to be battle bots, some kind of battle bots thing, okay, go all in on it. Don't half-ass go in and kind of apologize, right? Pay attention, pull things in.
Love it. Okay, our last question. This is a doozy.
I thought you had eight more. Okay.
No. This is the last
round
one
all day.
Okay, all right. So last question. What's a question you'd like to ask me? Get to flip the tables here.
Why can't we have behaviors default to the during being none?
You know, if I could answer that question, I could be a wealthy man. I don't know. I don't know the answer. I don't have a good answer for you.
All right.
You know what? It's a great suggestion. So here's the thing I can say is now that I've got you asking me this, I know we have some fans of Oz on Fire, or Excel on Fire at TechSmith on the Camtasia team. I'm going to show them this clip and say, like, why can't we have nice things and see what they say. So I don't know.
I always turn the
center kind of behavior to none. It's just, yeah. I don't want it to do stuff during.
Okay. So then let me ask you this, then ask a question.
Cause I just went question. On. Sorry. There's one question. I'm kidding.
I just went on a road trip through Oregon, Nevada, Arizona, Utah, and Idaho. And you lived in Utah. What's life like in Utah?
Well, I went to school there. And so, it was a little bit different because I was newly married, pretty early on, had a first kid. So it was like, you know, all we were focused on is like this, keeping this human alive and working and going to school. But you know, it's nice. People are genuinely nice. The mountains. Oh my gosh. The mountains are so beautiful. I was actually just out in Salt Lake City for an event. Mm. And, a little bit of fire air pollution because of the fires out west, which is unfortunate. But if you love the outdoors, it is a wonderful place to be. I love Michigan, where I'm at. I love the green. I love the trees. But, it's a good place. Although I definitely see that the cost of living looks like it's going up. Houses are expensive. But, it's a great place if you want to be outdoors, you want to ski, you want to be in the mountains. I can't recommend a place better. And generally, the people are just kind. And which is nice as well.
I found that. All right, cool. Yeah, I liked Utah. All right. Wyoming, Randy, Wyoming. See, are we going over there? Wyoming. When I moved to Portland, I drove from Chicago. Nebraska was a nightmare. Corn, cows. The smell of doo-doo and all the insects dying on the windshield. But then I saw that cowboy in Wyoming, Forever West. And then I saw tumbleweeds. And I had never seen a tumbleweed outside of a cartoon or a black and white Western show. I loved Wyoming. And I stopped in Laramie. I loved Wyoming. Yeah, but so I have been there. I just didn't get there on this trip.
Yeah, I was just there. Beautiful country, big, open, lots of wind, really very windy. So, Oz, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to join me. It's been wonderful to chat. It's always wonderful to chat with you. Just want to, again, I can't recommend your course enough. We love sharing it. Thank you so much for working with us on it for the TechSmith Academy.
Yeah.
And thanks for all that you do to make the world a better place through Excel videos.
Yep. Thank you. This has been good.
Absolutely. All right, everybody, before we're going to let Oz go, but thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you like, subscribe, do all that great stuff. We will see you next week with another great guest here in the Visual Lounge. Until next week. Later.